All right, so we are in Revelation 21, verse 9 to Revelation 22, verse 5. The title is Your Future Glorious Home. Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the streets of the city, the street of the city, was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing or for the health of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Wow. Think about that. God is good. Amen. I hope that you're saying amen. And you know, the older I get, and the more that we go through in this life, and the deeper we get into the book of Revelation, and the more I have studied the details of this glorious city, the more I stand amazed at just how God good is. Think about it. From what we learned last time and what we see here this morning, the God of heaven is building right now a new and glorious future home for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. That is, for sinners who are deserving of nothing from God but wrath. and yet who will inherit, thanks to Jesus Christ and thanks to the grace of God, who will inherit eternal life in this glorious city that I just described. Now, what is this passage all about? Well, in verse 9, it's about the bride, the Lamb's wife, that is, the wife of Jesus Christ. In verse 10 of chapter 21, it's about the great city, the holy Jerusalem that descends out of heaven from God. But then, in verses 24 and 26 and 27 and 22, verses 3, 4, and 5, it's about the people who will live there. It's about the nations of those who are saved, about those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, about the servants of Jesus Christ who will live in this city, serving the Lord, who will reign with him forever and ever. Beloved, this is about the future home of all who believe in Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if you're a believer in Christ, this is about your future home. This is about the city that you are soon to be moving to, and the time is near. Do you remember what Jesus promised just before he was crucified for our sins? You remember these famous words? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Revelation 21:9 to 22:5 is about the place that Jesus is preparing for you if you are his disciple. So let me just begin with that. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation? You know, salvation is not a matter of your works. Entrance into this glorious kingdom, this glorious eternal state, is not a matter of what you can do for God. It's a matter of what God has already done for you and what Christ has done for you on the cross. And everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, and entrance into the eternal kingdom. That is good news. God is good. Amen. Now, that's what this great text of Scripture is all about in general. It's about the future glorious home for all believers in Jesus Christ. But to be more specific, it is about the glory of that future home. And in these verses that I've just read to you, there are 12 glorious features of that future city where we who believe in Jesus Christ are going to live. Another way of putting it, there are 12 things to look forward to in the city that you're moving to soon. 12 things to look forward to in the city that you're moving to if you are saved. And they're shown to us here in order that we might endure to the end, in order that we might overcome all the trials and all the temptations of this life and enter one day into that glorious city. So, a dozen glorious features. There's no way I could do them all justice this morning, so we'll see how far we get. Glorious feature number one, of your future home concerns its glory, and the truth is your future city has the glory of God. Your future city has the glory of God. Look at verse 9. It says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came and talked to me, saying..." Now let's stop there for a second and let's recall the context of Revelation. You remember the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos being punished for preaching the gospel. There's a good summary of the background. The Apostle John on the island of Patmos being punished for preaching the gospel. And it was at that time that the risen Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him, dressed both as judge and as priest, an indicator of the two main themes of Revelation, judgment and salvation. And as you recall, John saw in a vision in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, he saw this vision of God the Father on the throne with a seven-sealed scroll in his right hand. That seven-sealed scroll is the full and final will of God for this world. And the only one worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals is whom? The Lamb, remember? Very good. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb who is worthy. the Lamb who paid the price for man's sins. Well, the Lamb came and took the scroll out of the right hand of God the Father and began to loose its seven seals. And as you recall, he opened the seven seals, which were seven judgments of God unleashed upon the earth over some period of time. And the seventh seal led to a series of seven trumpets, which announced seven more judgments of God upon this earth. And then the seventh trumpet announced seven bowls of final wrath to be poured out upon this earth at the end of the great tribulation, the seven last plagues. The bottom line of all of that, and we studied it in great detail, the bottom line of all of that, judgment is coming. The judgment of God is coming upon this world. But afterward is coming salvation for everyone who believes in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way of escape from the wrath of God to come. There is no other way of escape. Again, I ask you, is your trust in Jesus Christ? And if it is not, you should flee to Christ from the wrath to come. And you should do it now. You should not wait around. You should not mess around with God. God is not a God to be toyed with. He is a consuming fire. Well, here, notice verse 9 again. It is one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues who comes to John and talks with him and says, "Come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Now, let me ask you this, and I wish we were all together because I would hope that you could answer this in unison and that you could answer it with a question. Are you ready? The answer is a question, just like Jeopardy. What is an angel? What are angels? Ready? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Hebrews 1:14. And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. All good angels, all non-fallen angels, are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Beloved, God is good. That's us. And this angel is ministering for you. Think about that. This angel who is showing us the great and glorious city and is going to point out various features through the Apostle John, that angel is ministering for the sake of your salvation so that you will endure all the trials and temptations of this life all the way to the end and enter into the glorious kingdom. By showing John and us this city in all its glory, he is ministering to us that we might inherit what we're going to see here. And he's giving us all something glorious to look forward to. So now listen, notice what it says in verse 9 at the end, second to last line in my Bible. It says, "Come." That's a command. "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." So put aside everything else. Put aside distractions. Do not be distracted while you listen to the Word of God. I know that you're in your home. I know that this is Zoom. I know that you're muted and you could be doing something else right now, paying attention to something else right now. Do not dishonor the God of heaven. Do not dishonor this angel. Do not dishonor the Apostle John. And please don't dishonor me. I'm already going through a midlife crisis. Don't dishonor the Word of God by being distracted by every other thing. Listen to the Word of God and think about what he's showing you. Because what he's showing you is the glory of your future home, and the time is near. Now notice, it says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife, the wife of Jesus Christ." And you recall earlier in chapter 9, who was the wife of Jesus Christ there? Us, the redeemed, the church, and the redeemed of all the ages. Well, here it refers to the city that comes down out of heaven from God. Why is that? Because this is the city of all the redeemed. We will be in this city when it comes down out of heaven. We'll already be there when it descends. And verse 10, take a look. Verse 10, "He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain." So that's our vantage point. We're going to be looking at the New Jerusalem from a great and high mountain, kind of looking from a distance. And it says, "He showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." And verse 11, having what? You see it? Very good. Having the glory of God. Now, what is glory? What is glory? I know that Beth Russell, if she's on this call here, she can tell me what glory is. Beth Russell can tell me that glory is the summation of everything that makes a person, place, or thing worthy of praise, worthy of worship, right? That's what glory is. You remember that Moses had asked God one time, "Show me your glory." And God, in a sentence, summed up his great attributes. Well, the city that you're moving to has the glory of God. What that means is there will be a constant manifestation everywhere you look of everything that makes our God and our Lord Jesus Christ worthy of worship. We are going to see his power on display everywhere. We're going to see his glory, his wisdom, his holiness, his purity, his compassion, his love. It's going to be on display everywhere you look in that great city. Now, quick show of hands, because I can see quite a few of you on the screen here. Quick show of hands. How many of you have ever been to a nice city? Ever been to a nice city? Yeah, a lot of us have been to a nice city. Maybe you've been to a lot of nice cities. But how many of you have ever been to a city where you could say, everywhere you go in that city, it's glorious? I've never been to a city like that. You know, I started thinking of some of the cities that we've been in, and by the grace of God, we've been in a lot of cities. You know, I thought, Philadelphia, is that beautiful everywhere you look? No. Los Angeles? No. New York? Dallas? Chicago? Detroit? I've been in those cities. They're not glorious everywhere you look. You ever had one? Can you think of any? I don't know. I thought, well, I know Bruce. He's been overseas. He's been to some foreign cities. Maybe there's some city over there that's just glorious everywhere you look. Most cities are not. I don't know if any are, really. You probably haven't looked hard enough. But I will tell you, the city that you're moving to has the glory of God everywhere. Everywhere you go, everywhere you look, you are going to see, and it's hard for us to picture, all the other details are going to fill this out for us, but everywhere we look, we are going to see everything that makes our God so worthy of worship. Everywhere you look, we're just going to say, wow, praise the Lord. Wow, praise God. Look at this over here. Wow, praise God. And we're just going to be saying that for eternity. This is the first feature of the glorious city. It will have the glory of God, his infinite greatness, his incomparable majesty, his unlimited power, his immeasurable wealth, his vast wisdom will always, everywhere, be on display. One commentator said, "This is the radiance of the dazzling splendor of God caused by the very presence of God in the center of the city, and it will be the city's most striking feature." Well, that's the first glorious feature of the city that you're moving to. All other 11 features that we'll be studying this week and next will help explain the first one. But beloved, be encouraged. Get excited. Your future glorious home is going to have the glory of God. You're going to live in a city where it really is glorious everywhere you go. And for example, feature number two, glorious feature number two, and this one pertains to its beauty. Your future home will shine brightly like a diamond. It's going to shine brightly like a diamond. Look at verse 11. It says, "Her light," which is actually a special word for light. It's only used one other time in the New Testament. It's kind of like saying her bright radiance, her brilliant glow, was like, and I think John is stretching for something to compare this to, was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, which actually in that day, a jasper stone was a diamond. It was like a most precious stone or the most precious stone, like a jasper stone or a diamond, clear as crystal. Clear as crystal. Now, some of us, at one time or maybe more than one time in life, we've really gotten into looking at a diamond. in about 1985, so a long time ago, I got into looking at, you know, cut and clarity and the other C's. Cut and cost, clarity, carrots, I don't know. You know, the four C's. Mainly, I was looking at the one C, cost. So if you ever look at Denise's diamond, you'll be like, I don't think the other three C's were much taken into consideration here. It looks like this was a cost diamond. But she's so sweet. I've offered a few times over the years, honey, do you need a bigger one? Do you want a bigger one? No, no, this is the one that you got me back then. But you know what? The city that you're moving to is going to glow. It's going to radiate like this gorgeous, ginormous, most beautiful, glorious diamond. Have you ever moved to a new city? You ever moved to a new city? I see Kimberly shaking her head. Let me start counting. And I know you have the number of how many cities you've moved to. 32? 22. Yeah. Wow. I can't imagine. You know, I thought back to the first city that Denise and I moved to as a young couple. And some of us, you will remember back in the good old days. Well, I'll tell you, the late 80s, when I was graduating as an engineer from Penn State University. Woohoo! Go Nittany Lions. Back in those days, they were whining and dining us electrical engineers. I mean, they really were. You'd get flown into town for the second interview, and they'd roll out this little red carpet. Well, I flew into Rancho Cucamonga, California, for the second interview to work at Frito-Lay as an engineer, chip engineer. Ha, just kidding. You're supposed to laugh at that. I don't hear any laughing. No, just kidding. You don't have to unmute to laugh at that. Yeah, so I flew into Rancho Cucamonga for the second interview. It was this bright, clear spring day. It was probably March or April of 1987. I was a couple months away from graduation, a couple months away from getting married. And of course, I'm just like big eyes. You know, I'm 22 years old. And I go there and I was like, wow, Rancho Cucamonga, look at the mountains. And there were some snow caps and the mountains and everything. And I get back home and I get the offer letter from Frito-Lay and good money. And I was like, honey, we're getting married and I'm moving you to this glorious city, Rancho Cucamonga. Wait till you see it. So we drove across country in our little Toyota pickup with all of our stuff loaded in the back. And I think, I might be wrong, I think the first thing my wife said as we got to Rancho Cucamonga is, where are the mountains? I thought you said there were mountains. The smog was so thick you could cut it with a knife. I mean, it was brown. Everything was brown. And it was this huge disappointment. I have good news for you. Heaven will not be like that. You will not be disappointed. I am telling you, on the basis of the Word of God, the light there, the brilliant, radiant glow is going to be something like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It's going to glow like a diamond. Now, let me show you something here. Can you see that? So, Google Images is a great thing. You just type in glowing diamonds or whatever, and you see things like this, and you think, wow, that's pretty. You know what? Your city, it's hard to compare it. Your city is going to radiate. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be beautiful. This is the second glorious feature of your future home. I have this book on my shelf. Not everyone probably has this book. It's called The Synonym Finder. It's actually one of my most favorite books, The Synonym Finder. And there is an entry under just about every word you can find in the Bible. And I looked up beauty. The Synonym Finder, by the way, if you're a preacher or a teacher or a public speaker, I highly recommend it. It's a great book to have on the shelf. Under beautiful, it has these entries, and this is not exhaustive. Excellent, superior, magnificent, gorgeous, fine, first rate, first class, prime, choice, select, exquisite, enthralling, rare, superb, matchless, unequaled, dazzling, radiant. Beloved, here's what I want to tell you. Every single one of those words and many more can be applied rightly to the city that we are moving to the city that you're going to be living in if your faith is in Jesus Christ. God is good. He is making all things new. Jesus Christ is good. He is preparing a place for you in that glorious city. Not because of what you've done, and not because you've followed him perfectly, because none of us have, but because by the grace of God, you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation out of this present evil age and into the glorious city to come. Now, that's just two of 12 features of the heavenly city. What do you think? Time for one more? Yeah, certainly time for one more. The third glorious feature of your future eternal home. And this one concerns its security. Your future glorious home will have a great and high wall with 12 open gates, signifying eternal liberty and eternal security. I'll say it again. Your future glorious home will have a great and high wall with 12 open gates, signifying eternal liberty and eternal security. Look at verses 12 through 14. Also she had, and she is the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the eternal dwelling place for all the redeemed, all those who believe in Jesus. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. What does that remind you of? Probably reminds you of the organization of the 12 tribes of Israel around the tabernacle. Remember that? God is a God of order. He's a God of symmetry. He's a God of beauty. But I think most important, God is at the center of his people. God's people gather around him. And with him at the center, there is eternal security. And there is eternal beauty and eternal liberty. And then it says in verse 14, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, how many of you have walls or gates on your property? Yeah, some of you, I think, are, at least one of you, I know for a fact, is building a wall right now. Well, what are your walls or your gates for? Aesthetics? Maybe some degree of security. You know, we have a little gate. It's pretty much to keep Misty in the backyard. It was here when we came here, and we're glad that it's there. It's for some degree of a confinement. Walls and gates in our life have varying purposes. We're all familiar with them. If you've lived in a variety of different homes, you've probably had a variety of different walls and gates for various purposes. So what about here? Well, in God's city, the gates are not for security, and they're not to keep bad guys out, or they're not to keep us in. If you look down at verse 25, it says, its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. So what does that mean? The gates are open all the time. And if you look again at verse 12, it says she had a great and high wall. We'll talk about the dimensions of it next time, with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. Well, what are they for? I don't know. Greeters? Because we get to go in and out of that. So I think we're going to go, hey, Clarence, I see you got your wings. Oh, that's a Christmas reference. I don't know what the angels are there for, but the gates and the angels are not for security purposes. However, why would God design that there should be this great and high wall with all these gates? I think there is some symbolism here. I think, as has been said by Kittle, the purpose of the wall is not to help defend the city because there is no enemy to defend against. It is rather a constant reminder of the eternal security of the city's inhabitants. and the open gates are a reminder of our eternal liberty in God. We are going to enjoy freedom. We're also going to enjoy security. You know, I used to be in sales, and they used to say at Zig Ziglar sales things that everyone is looking for two things, freedom and security. And if you can sell those in whatever you're selling, if you can figure out how you have new freedom and new security with your new refrigerator, you can sell refrigerators to Alaskans. Well, God isn't trying to sell us something here, but we do like freedom and we do like security. And that's what is represented in this great city by this great and high wall. So what about the names of the 12 tribes on the gates and the names of the 12 apostles of Christ on the city's foundations? I think they will be constant reminders of how God chose to build this great city. Ultimately, God is the builder, right? He's the one building. Hebrews 11:10 says that Abraham was always looking forward to the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But how is God building it? How has God been building it throughout the ages? Whom did God choose to use to proclaim the good news? Some have said how odd of God to choose the Jews. Is it any worse that he chose the church? God has chosen the 12 tribes of Israel, plus all the elect during the church age, to proclaim the good news of salvation to the nations and to call people to believe in Jesus Christ unto eternal life in this glorious city. And I think the names of the 12 tribes on all the gates and the names of the 12 apostles on the foundations will be constant reminders that God throughout the ages was using fallen men, chosen people, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ so that others might believe and be saved. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." This is another glorious feature of the city of God where we're going to live. It's something else to look forward to in the city that you're moving to. There's going to be this great and high wall there, symbolizing the eternal security that we will have forever with God and with Jesus Christ. And there will be these 12 open gates that remind us constantly of the great freedom and great liberty that we've been given in our Lord Jesus. And there will be angels of God at every gate, possibly greeting us as we come and go, but reminding us that God has always had his ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who inherit salvation. I think they'll still be ministering to us. And there will be these names on the gates and on the foundations reminding us of the incredible, marvelous way that God brought about our great salvation. And that's just three of 12 features. Three of 12 features of the heavenly city. Next time, we'll look at her staggering size and shape, her marvelous construction materials, her beautiful temple, who all will live there, the beautiful people, the river, the trees, the atmosphere, and more. But already, let me tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to be excited about the place that we're all moving to. And you don't have to pack. You don't have to pack anything. We've moved maybe a dozen times. You always had to pack and then you had to unpack and nothing was ever perfect. But beloved, when the day comes, when this life is over and we're done with this tent, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to move to a glorious future home. It's going to be beautiful. Everywhere you look, you're going to see the glory of God on display. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to radiate something like a diamond. There's going to be this great high wall there with 12 open gates and angels at the gates greeting and serving. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the names of the 12 apostles, reminding us that God used sinful men to proclaim the good news of salvation. Let that be a reminder to us that that's what we've been called to. God is still saving people into this eternal kingdom. The number one reason that God has left us here is to live for his glory and to live for the gospel. Let's pray for and look for opportunities to tell others about this eternal city. Beloved, let what we've talked about here today be an encouragement to you to look forward to your heavenly home, to endure all the trials of life by faith in Jesus Christ, to keep looking to what he has done, is doing, and is going to do, and to keep living and serving him by faith. But what if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ? What if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, the contrast could not be more clear. Back in verse 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Listen, don't go there. Don't let yourself go there. God wants you to go to the heavenly city. He wants you to be saved. And let today be the day. Listen, every preacher, every prophet, every apostle, every good Christian has been saying the same throughout the ages, and it's this. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of all of their sins, the gift of eternal life, and entrance into the eternal city. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you will be saved. Let's pray. Father, I praise you and thank you for what a good God you are. As Jacob once said, we are not worthy of the least of your mercies, and yet we're thankful for them all, and your mercies are new every morning. Father, I stand amazed at what you're doing for us who have believed in your Son. And even the faith that we have, even our believing in your Son, Jesus Christ, is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Father, I praise you, and I know your people are praising you even now. Thank you, Father, for showing us this great city. Thank you for giving us a glimpse of heaven. Help us to have hearts that look forward in anticipation to all that you are preparing. Help us to thank you and to praise you for what Christ is doing as he prepares a place for all who believe. And Father, we pray for anyone who may be hearing this today who's not saved. We pray for our unsaved loved ones, relatives, friends, and neighbors, even strangers who don't have the hope of heaven, or who have maybe a false hope in their own works, their own deeds, or their own club, or their own denomination. We know, Father, that it's by grace that we're saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. I pray that you might be pleased to grant faith and salvation to someone today. We give you praise, Father, for this glorious city. Help us to endure to the end, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Well, let me share a song with you, and it's a familiar one probably. Chris Tomlin, I'm Going Home. Hope you like a song with a little bit of a beat. Hang on just a second. I hope I can share it with you. Just a second.
To be all this pain, all this suffering.